Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. This is a familiar passage of Scripture. Our dear friend Dr. Ed Ballou preached from this passage a few years ago. And he just did a tremendous job. I won't repeat that, or you can't outdo what he did preaching here a few years ago. But in verse 14, I want you to follow along with me. The Bible says, Paul speaking here, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able," I'll say that again, "now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end." And everybody said, Amen. Familiar passage of Scripture here. Paul gives great teaching and great lessons to the church of Ephesus. And here he begins to have a prayer for them. And he admonishes them, starting in verse 14, as he begins to pray. And you'll notice he wants them to do five things. And he teaches them five things and he prays that he wants them to have. And he strives for them to have. Let me break this down by way of introduction. First of all, he says that he would grant you, according to the riches of his grace, glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. He says, "I want the inner man to be strong. You're going to face things coming up, so I want the inner man to be strong." And then verse 17 says that that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. He wanted them to know and have the love of Christ and Christ itself being rooted and grounded in faith, that they may know who Christ is and just how real He could be if we live by faith. And then thirdly, he says that ye being rooted and grounded in love. He said if you're going to be able to make it in this world, you're going to have faith in Christ, you're going to have strength in the inner man, but you're going to have love one for another. That is missing in our church. We've seen it this week, how the Lord met with us in special ways and how we've told each other we love each other and how important that is to love each other, but also to love the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But then he goes on to say that ye may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. He said, "I want you to understand and try to realize just how much the Lord loves you." He said, "I know it's going to be incomprehensible. You're going to be able to try to think and try to comprehend what God has done for you on the cross of Calvary, but you'll never be able to understand." And that's the way I feel tonight. I don't know why He loves me, but I'm so thankful that He does, with an everlasting, unconditional love. He says, "I want you to understand how much God loves you." But then he says at the end of verse 19, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. So think of that. He said, "Inner man, I want it to be strong. I want you to have love of Christ by faith. I want you to be rooted and grounded in love. I want you to try to understand just how much God loves you. And then I want you to have the fullness of God." Well, that's a tough thing to live up to, isn't it? That's a tough prayer to pray, and that's even tougher to live up to. Now, if he would have stopped right there, they would have said, "Well, how in the world are we going to be able to accomplish this?" And really, when you look at this and look at our lives, I think Paul, if he were here today, he would tell us, "I'm praying these five things for you as well." And you might think, "How in the world am I going to be able to live up to that? How am I going to be able to get all those prayers answered?" Well, that's where verse 20 comes in. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us." Now, I've learned some things over the years being taught by some of the greatest teachers and preachers. And one thing I've learned, when you're studying Scripture, you need to have three things in mind. Number one, you need to have a principle. Number two, you need to have a plan to work the principle. And and then you need to have a promise that accompanies the plan. And so if we look at this scripture tonight, and I think God's going to show us some wonderful things, and this is the way I've been living my life and how He showed me, and I hope by the end of tonight we'll all go out of here with a deeper appreciation that God is certainly able to do anything that we can ask or think. Number one, what is the principle in this text? The principle, number one, is God is able to do. That's the principle. It's very simple. Very simple to understand that God is able to do. The word able in the Greek there is where we get the word dynamite. It means power. So this tells us that God has the power to do. And the word to do in the Greek means to make. So not only does He have the power to do something, but He has the power and ability to make it happen. There are people that you'll meet in your life. They'll talk about doing things. They'll think about doing things. They'll tell you they're going to do some things, but they never happen. But thank God, when God says it, He can make it happen, and He's got the power to make it happen. He is able to do. Now, wouldn't you agree if He would have stopped right there, that would have been sufficient enough for you and I? No matter what need we have in life, simply when God says He is able to do, that would be enough and we can rest our hat on that, but He didn't. Paul uses three words here, exceeding, abundantly, above, that is used nowhere else in Scripture. This combination of words, and I'm telling you, if we research this a little deeper, I'm going to find it out. I'm blessed just thinking about it because I know where I'm going, but I'm telling you, God is certainly able to do and go above and beyond our expectations. So let's break down these three words real quickly. Number one, the word exceeding. The word exceeding means to go over, above, and beyond. So think about that. God is able to go above, over, and beyond anything in our life. Now that's a blessing right there. Because there are times in your life when you needed to get through circumstances, over circumstances, around circumstances, and just in the nick of time God showed up and He was able to go over and above and beyond the problem that you faced. But notice there's another word here. It says abundantly. Now this little word is interesting because there's actually three words that make up the word abundantly. So if we have the word exceeding, which means over, above, and beyond, and now we have the word abundantly. The word abundantly, first of all, means to go beyond. So I just told you. The word exceeding means to go above and beyond. But the word abundantly means to go beyond. So He's repeating Himself? No, He's not repeating Himself. He's telling you what God's able to do. He's able to go beyond. Oh, that's the title of my message tonight. To go beyond. Just when you think God has done all He can do, He goes beyond that. Just when you think He can't bless you anymore, He goes beyond that. Just when you think you're out of His reach, He goes beyond that. There's no limits to His love. There's no limits to His power. There's no limits to what He can do for you. That word abundantly also means any place, time, or cause. We can narrow that down to anything that we go through in life can be categorized into any place, any time, or any cause. So that means God is able to go beyond any place, any time, or any cause, or any problem that you are facing tonight. I'm thankful that when I needed God in the worst way, thank God He showed up and He exceeded my expectations. Another word that makes up abundantly means excessive, means more than enough. So He's able to go beyond excessively. You'd really think Paul had a hard time trying to describe what God's able to do for him. He was trying to describe in His Word, He's able to do more than enough. Sometimes God gives us what we need, but I'm thankful here this week at the Smoky Mountain Camp Meeting, He's went above and beyond. He's went beyond our expectation. And He's given us way more than we could ever think or imagine. Aren't you glad for a God that's able to go exceeding abundantly above? We live well below our privileges tonight, folks. If we could grab on to this promise, if we could grab on to what Paul is trying to teach us here, we could understand there is nothing that God cannot do. I know that's simple and that's cliche and we say it so many times, but really, if we could grasp onto this, we would start living our life believing and expecting and living in victory that He can do anything we ask Him to do. This isn't a name it and claim it and blab it and grab it kind of religion. No, it's just simply believing in the power of an Almighty God above anything that we ask or think. That word think actually means to imagine. That means He goes beyond our imagination. And He goes beyond our imagination. Have you ever been in a situation when you needed God to show up and you thought He was going to do it a certain way? And then when He did it and you came out of the other end of it and you started praising God, you just said, well, you know what? I never would have thought of that. That's how you know it's God. Because when He does things, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And when He does it, when we look back and we say, it had to be God because I couldn't think of anything that good. That's how you know God's right in the middle of it. And listen, it's hard for some of you to believe that God is able to do. Some of you know and believe without doubt that He's able to do it because He's done it for you. But there are some here tonight that you simply just, you're still having doubts that He is not able to heal you, that He is not able to mend that broken home, that He is not able to save your kids. You have doubt. I'm not preaching down on you. I'm just saying there's doubt in your mind. Well, that's where the plan comes in. The principle is God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. But here's the plan. According to the power that worketh in us. See, that's the plan. In order for the program, in order rather for the principle to work, you have to have the right plan. The plan is according to the power that worketh in us. And if you have the right power, the principle will work every time. If the power of God rests in you, then the principle will work every single time. The word power is the same word able. It means dynamite, that the thing that the God will allow the power to work through us to see things happen, and the principle will work for you. See, there's reasons why people have doubt here tonight, and here's the main reason. Because you've allowed every power but the Holy Ghost to work in your life. You've allowed the power of fear, the power of doubt, the power of depression, the power of disease to overcome your life. But listen, I'm telling you, not preaching at you tonight, but I'm telling you, you need to get over that fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us the power of love and of a sound mind. Listen, when we come in faith believing, I know we'll get the wind knocked out of us, but I'm telling you, when we get up, we can simply say and believe by faith that He is able to do it according to the power that worketh in us. He wants to do miracles for you. He wants to do anything for you. He wants to heal you of that disease. He wants to mend that broken home. He wants to save your kid. He wants to give you that financial miracle. So many times we pull back the restraints and He's not able to. Do you realize there's a verse in the Bible where it tells us in the book of Matthew 13:58 that when He looked in the city, when He went in, it says He could no wise do miracles because of their unbelief. They put handcuffs on an almighty God because they simply could not believe that He was able to do what He said He could do. And listen, we pull back the restraints. We put handcuffs on God. Listen, we've let the stops out this week. God has poured down His Spirit. But listen, there have been many times in our life when God has asked us to do things, but we pull back the restraints and said, no, I can't do it. Listen, He wants you to submit to Him. He wants His power to come in you. And listen, when His power works through you, the principle that He is able to do will work every single time. I promise you it will. He wants to. He's able to. But will you let Him? And there are some of you tonight, I believe this with all my heart, or God wouldn't impress me to preach this message. I believe there are some of you tonight that are really struggling with submitting to just believing God. And here's the reason why. Because you're scared to death of what He's going to make you do. You're scared to death of what He's going to make you do. Last week at our home church, I preached about Jacob and about him wrestling with God. And I brought up this point, it doesn't say that Jacob fought with God. Actually, it said he fought with a man. I believe it was a theophany. He fought with the Lord Jesus Christ. He fought with God. But he didn't fight with him. It says he wrestled with him. There's a reason why it wasn't fighting. It was wrestling. When you're fighting someone, you're intending to hurt them. But he was wrestling with God. When you're wrestling with someone, you're not intending to hurt them. You're just intending to get the superiority over them. You're trying to get them in submission. That's why it took all night. I always thought, why in the world would Jacob wrestle with God and why wouldn't God just whip him? Of course he could whip him. But he didn't want to whip him. God would never force himself on you. But he will orchestrate events in your life to get you to submit to his will. That's why it took all night, because they were wrestling with one another. He says, Jacob, I want you to do this. Jacob said, no, I don't want to do this. And in order for him to finally submit, God had to cripple him. And some of you tonight are living on borrowed time. Listen, you've wrestled with God long enough, and you're going to wake up one morning, you're going to be crippled because God's trying to get you to submit. He ain't going to force himself on you, but he will allow things to happen in your life till you finally throw your hands up and say, Lord, I'm yours. But that wrestling match could have ended a lot earlier in Jacob's life if he would have just said, Lord, I'm yours. And some of you are scared to death. Jacob knew what he had to do. He had to go to his brother Esau. He had to go and ask forgiveness. And God gave him a blessing. He sure did. And God wants to give you a blessing. But you got to be willing to say, Lord, I'm yours. I submit to whatever you want me to do. And you'll be able to live a beyond type of life. There's the principle. There's the plan. But then look at the promise that is associated with all these things. The promise is in verse 21, unto him be glory in the church. Anytime God is able to do exceeding abundantly above according to the power that worketh in us, it's so he can get the glory. In the Old Testament, in the book of Ezekiel, you'll find where it talks about how the children of Israel were in an endless cycle. They would serve the Lord and they would sin. And then God would allow things to happen and they would repent and turn back to God. It was an endless cycle. And so many times I've read Ezekiel chapter 20 and I thought, Lord, why didn't you just wipe them out and start all over again? But see, to those children of Israel, his name was attached. And any time God's name was about to be damaged, God would always step in and save them. Why? Because he said in Ezekiel chapter 20, I'm doing this for my holy name's sake. And the reason why he chooses to bless you, the reason why he's chosen to heal you, the reason why you're here tonight and lifting your hands in praise is so he can get the glory. And he is able to do it if we simply turn the glory back to him. And there's been times in my life when I've asked God to do things for me, and he's done it. But recently, I've been changing my prayer and my attitude. And I'll just share with you my heart here just for a few moments, and then we'll close. A few months ago, a man at our church reminded me of an article that was written by David Wilkerson a little over 20 years ago. And David Wilkerson wrote an article about this passage of Scripture, unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. And David Wilkerson gave a challenge to the reader. He said, have you ever over-asked God for anything? Have you ever over-asked God for anything? And I got to thinking about that and chewing on that. And Ron, I had to be very honest with God and ask for forgiveness. I had never, up until that point, over-asked God for anything in my life. Gary, I always asked him, Lord, meet my needs. And he's already promised me he would, because I tithe. Ooh. Didn't know you was going to hear about that, did you, down here this week? Hey, I ain't got no worries, because I give what God's told me to give. It goes well beyond 10%, but it don't matter. I'm just telling you, I'm doing what God's telling me to do. And I don't have to worry about my needs getting met. Don't have to worry. Scares my wife to death sometimes that I don't worry about it, but I don't worry about it. Because He's promised He would take care of me. Never seen the righteous forsaken. Nor seed begging bread. So I've always asked Him, meet my needs, Lord, meet my needs. And He's done that. So Lord, take care of my health. I've got type 1 diabetes since the age of 13. And I said, Lord, take care of my health. And He always has. I haven't been in the hospital one time since the age of 13 for diabetes problems. Never once. Don't have any problems with my feet, circulation. My eyes are fine. No problems at all. I gave Him glory. And so I was justified. I will get my healing, right, when I get to heaven. That's what I've said and preached. And glory to God. Wait till I get to heaven. But God burdened me, Bruce. And He said, why don't you start over asking me for something? He said, Brian, He said, you got a church full of people that I want to bless them so bad. But you and Cal Ray as leaders, you sometimes got to make the move. And you got to step out there, and they'll lead sometimes. Some of them won't, some of them will, but you just got to do it sometimes. You just got to step up to the plate. And so I did. I said, Lord, you met my needs. Just take care of all my debt for me. Oh, I'm the only one that's got debt. Am I the only one that's got a house payment? Okay, I didn't think so. He's able to do that? Yeah, He sure can. He can go beyond. I don't know how He'll do it, but He's going to do it. I prove it. And then He said, Brian, I want to take care of that diabetes for you. I said, okay, Lord. Okay. I know you can. But I'm telling you, Lord, you know how we... like He don't know. Like He don't know about type 1 diabetes. I said, Lord, this is going to take a miracle. He said, duh. That's why I'm a little thick skull sometime. I said, Lord, I believe you. But just confirm to me you're going to do this. Confirm to me. He said, okay. So I began to pray, and I began to, the Lord just kept burdening me. He said, Lord, Brian, I'm going to do it. Well, I had everything in my mind the way I wanted it to be. I had the people I wanted to pick out to pray for me. I wanted it to be in the service that I wanted it to be in. I wanted it to be in my home church, honestly, at Rubyville, and I wanted the Lord to come, and, you know, He was going to do it, right? Well, His ways are higher than our ways, His thoughts. So we was at a little church in Lucasville, Ohio, just outside of the Jubilee there, called Community Bible, on a Saturday night. I was scheduled to preach. Brother Mike Simpson, he's here tonight from Swalger Valley Free Will Baptist, and the Lord started coming. The group was singing a song called Something's Happening. And I'm telling you, the Lord started moving in a special way. People started coming up and started to pray. Well, the service got so out of the banks, I didn't have to preach. And someone said amen right there. But I didn't have to preach. The Lord came up and did the preaching. And so I was just standing there by the piano, and the pastor just goes and sits down. You know, usually the pastor comes up and leads the service. He didn't. He just went and sat down like he was waiting for somebody to do something. And my heart, here's my heart. I said, no, Lord, I want to do it at Rubyville. He said, you do it now, brother. You do it now. You get anointed now. You get anointed now. Well, I had shared, Mike Simpson had called me, and I had shared with him what God had shared with me. And he was there that night, so that was a perfect opportunity for me to come. I said, I feel the Lord is going to heal me of my diabetes, and He's moving in a special way. I want to be anointed right now, and I wanted to be prayed for. I still believe in anointing with oil. I still believe in the divine touch of the Holy Ghost. So I got down on my knees and lifted my hands. Well, Mike just didn't take the oil and dab it on my head. He poured the whole bottle of oil on top of my head, and he rubbed it down. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. I felt like in the Old Testament where it said it came down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard. That's the way I felt. It went down from the top of my head to the sole of my head. I know the oil was just there, but I felt the oil of the Holy Ghost come down and something burn on the inside of me. And I said, Lord, I know it's done. I know it's done. I know it's done. I don't know when you're going to do it, but I know it's done. I know it's done. I know it's done. Amen. And so that Sunday morning I shared it with our church. And a man came up to me after church and handed me a piece of paper. He said, "Brian, I was on top of the hill praying for you." Whoa, on Thursday morning. And God showed me something. And I opened up the paper and it said, "No more diabetes. No more diabetes." He said, "Brian, God's going to heal you." He showed me too. And I said, in the mouth of two or three witnesses, "Lord, I'm going to believe you. I'm going to believe you. You're able to go beyond anything we can think or imagine." Bless you, Bob. Woo, he's able to do it. He said, "Brian, has he done it yet?" "No, because I'm not ready yet. This temple isn't ready. I'm working on it to get ready." But listen, I'll share this and I'm done. God's not going to heal me so I can stand up in a pulpit and eat 12 dozen Krispy Kreme donuts and tempt God and say, "Look, God, I'm going to eat these just to show what the people..." No, I'm not doing that. I'm doing that so when I go to the doctor and they say, "I thought you had type 1 diabetes." And I said, "I did, but God healed me." Do you know the Lord as your... Listen, if it's for one doctor, if it's for one nurse, if it's for hundreds of people, I give Him glory and give Him praise. You say, "Brian, has it happened yet?" No, but I'm going to praise Him on credit because it's going to happen. I believe He's able. I believe He's able. It's no coincidence Brother Billy Whitaker's here tonight. Him and his family came down. The doctors gave him a death sentence. He was full of cancer. Only had just a few days to live. He went home and got saved. And God gloriously saved him. God gave him a promise in the Word of God. "By His stripes you are healed." And he believed God that He was able to heal him. The Cleveland Clinic called him and said, "You're supposed to be dead. Get back up here. We don't know what's going on." They ran test after test. That was on a Wednesday. And he stopped by on his way home. He came in late that night with hands up in the air saying, "I'm healed. God's healed me. Took away all the cancer. Blessed with a beautiful family tonight." I'm telling you, God is able to go beyond anything we can think or imagine. Some have already got their healing promise this week. And God has just wanted me to reiterate to you, Eddie Varney, God is able to go beyond. Hasn't Eddie looked different since he came here? The Holy Ghost, the power that worketh in him. There's other people that have come. You've been sick. Bless the heart, the joy heirs. Been sick this week. Bless the heart, the dear lady, young lady that sings with them. Just had a recent surgery. Came and sang with them last night. Not doing well tonight. She needs a healing touch. Brother Ernie needs a healing touch. They're here. They came to worship with us. Why? Because they believe God's able. They believe He's able. And I know some of you are facing things that you think there's no way God can do it. I'll remind you what the angel told Mary. With man, this is impossible. But with God, nothing. All things are possible. Nothing is impossible. If you're in sin tonight and you came this week, maybe you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you're backslid on God, whatever it is, you can't get settled in your heart and you think you've done too much, that God isn't able to save you. Well, my friend, if He wasn't able, then why did He go to the cross? Why is look at all the evidence around you. There are people here tonight. You've been in jail. You've been at the point where you thought there was no hope for you, but God reached down in the pit and brought you out and set you on a solid rock. He can do that for you tonight. But you simply have to believe in the principle God is able to do. And then when He comes through, be sure to give Him glory. It says in there, "Unto Him be glory, Lord Jesus Christ, throughout all ages." See, He does this, and He's going to do this for me. He's going to do this for you. He's going to do the miracles you need to happen, not only for you, but for your kids, for your grandkids. I'm glad my kids are here this week. It's nice to see that God is still able, because they can go back when they're older and they give me a grandchild. They can say, hey, your papa's got something to tell you. I've seen it. I was raised in a church where up on the walls there's crutches and back braces and medical equipment hanging on the wall where people would come in from all areas. They would lay hands on them. They would be healed and walk out. I'm telling you, I've seen it happen. What do you need God to do for you? Can I just tell you one more time? He's able to go beyond.